Krasner, and you're listening to 90.1 FM KKFI, Kansas City Community Radio.
This is Radioactive Magazine, a KKFI public affairs program of progressive activism, opinion, and commentary. Opinions expressed on this program are those of the speakers alone and are not necessarily the views of KKFI, its staff, volunteers, board of directors, show hosts, or other guests on the program.
Okay, thank you for joining us as you are listening to Radioactive Magazine tonight. We're going to be talking about the Fringe Festival that's coming up. Part of it starts on the 14th, and then live shows starting on the 21st. We have Audrey Crabtree, who is the CEO or executive director of the festival.
I call her Grand Poobah.
And we also have Bill Claus here, who you all know, who's done many shows here and actually started this show. And he's going to be talking to them about the festival coming up. Tyler and Lindquist, is it?
Yes.
Okay. And he's, I guess you're a playwright that is producing Mindset. And then Tina, and tell me your last name again. Okay, and Tina is helping Tyler on that show. And
she's
then
actually a co-writer and producer of the show.
Okay, and then Sandy Woodson, and she organized and is directing the visual arts, which is all at going to be at the Union Station, is that correct?
Not all of it.
Okay.
But I can tell you more about that.
All right. And so I'm going to let Bill lead in with the questions, and I may have a few questions as well.
Sure. I'm just going to open it up with Audrey Crabtree, who's the executive director of KC Fringe, and who I've known for a couple of years now. And for those of you that have been around the Fringe, probably remember Cheryl Kimmy, who's the one that started this. And this is the 19th year of the Fringe Festival. And Audrey came in last year, and it was a real seamless transition from Cheryl Kimmy to Audrey. And as I mentioned before, I think it's an amazing amount of work that it takes to put together the KC Fringe. But so for people to have an appreciation of how amazing that is, tell us about the KC Fringe. What's that all about anyway?
Well, we are 16 days of visual art, film, and all types of theater. We have spoken word, comedy, circus, buteau, dance, all kinds of things. We have, this year we have 54 productions.
My goodness.
Yeah, 283 individual performances. Over 420 artists, and that's including the visual artists and the teams of artists that put together the shows.
Okay.
And the filmmakers. We have 46 filmmakers.
My goodness. And that is spread out in how many venues?
We have 13 venues.
13 venues. Mm-hmm. Okay. It's pretty amazing. Well, we'll do one aspect at a time. I'm going to ask you to talk a little bit about the film part first, Audrey.
Well, it opens on Friday. We have 18 hours of film. Everything is at Stray Cat Film Center. So we start Friday night at 6 and all day Saturday, all day Sunday into the evening, both those days, and then Monday night.
Okay, do you get the tickets for those the same as you do any other Fringe show?
Absolutely. You get all the tickets at www.kcfringe.org. And each show or film has its own page. So you can click on the image and go in there and read more about it, just like all the visual artists have a page. So you can click on the image of their name and read more about them.
Yeah, I kind of got to know a little bit about the film industry here in Kansas City last year. And I was just amazed at how much I didn't know about the number of films and stuff that are made here. So talk a little bit about that community, if you would.
Yeah, we have a really vibrant community. I don't know if you know, but we just got a tax break passed last week for film in Missouri, so that's pretty exciting. We have two different groups that are doing a whole series of shorts. One is they've chosen their 20 years of the best of their shorts, so they're pretty excited about that, and so am I. One of the great things about film is that you can just go and see so many different things, all different kinds of genres. So we're excited. Oh, it's 30 years of film. I'm sorry. Independent Filmmakers Coalition of Kansas City.
Well, since we are talking a little bit of history, I always make sure we cover this part of it. Can you tell us where the concept of Fringe started and maybe a little bit about the universe of Fringe festivals?
Well,
I know I'm doing this right off the top of your head, but
no, actually today is World Fringe Day.
Ah.
So there's over 300 Fringe festivals around the world, and they kind of all started in Edinburgh. And I think they have close to 15,000 shows this year.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, I don't even.
So that's the mothership of Fringe, I guess.
Yeah. And so just a little bit how it started is there was a big film festival, a big theater festival there. And so all the bookers from Europe would come, and it was kind of like a vacation week, and they'd all go see a bunch of shows and book their seasons for the year. And so these independent film, I keep saying film. I'm so excited about film, people. These independent theater makers were like, well, these people are all going to be in town. I'm going to get a space right near the big space, and hopefully I'll attract these bookers to come. And then it kind of just became where the cool stuff, the interesting stuff, and the stuff that got booked was the stuff on the fringe. And that's how it got started. Mm-hmm. And so now we have a lot of people that literally tour every summer, and that's how they make their living for the summer, is they tour from festival to festival. And each time a new one starts, we try not to cross over dates of another festival, and they try to look what cities are close so that someone might go to one festival and then be able to drive to the next one.
Well, I've always been really impressed by what a rich theater community we have in Kansas City. Mm-hmm. Now, I came of age in Tucson, and I go back there quite often, and I discovered a couple of years ago there is a Fringe in Tucson.
Yeah.
But it's like a really tiny version of what goes on in Kansas City. I mean, what the amount of material that the Fringe brings each year, I feel like it just makes the cultural life of Kansas City so rich, and which has a rich theater culture anyway.
Absolutely, and one of the things I love about it is that it is like an impetus to create work. Mm-hmm. Like it's a prompt for a lot of people. They're like, okay, what am I going to do in Fringe this year? Whether it's the visual artists, whether it's the theater makers. I'm not sure about the film that I keep wanting to talk about. But I assume, like, you know, sometimes as artists, we have these ideas floating around the ether, lots of ideas, and we're like, am I going to do this? What am I going to do this? And then the Fringe comes up, and it's like, that's my deadline. That's what's going to get me to the finish line on getting the show completed. And then for a lot of these shows, like Bloodline, for instance, it's been touring for a long time, and it has accolades from all kinds of Fringe festivals.
I know for myself, I got involved with doing, I call it seat of your pants theater. When I was with a group called The Fool Killer, and in fact, we have a stage right across the quarter across the street from where I'm here at KKFI. But the point I'm trying to get at is that we had access to our own stage so that we could self-produce all these shows. But since we don't have that, there's a lot of theater people that don't have a home stage. And that's something that the Fringe, you know, once a year somebody can at least say, okay, I'm going to write a show and put it together and get some actors together or whatever. So,
yeah, and I think also all of our venue partners are really generous in the fact that instead of asking for a specific minimum, they will take a percentage of the house. And because of that, they will try to help their audiences engage with our shows as well. So, you know, partnering with them, we can help new producers, and we can help producers that just don't have a lot of financial backing. And like you said, don't have a home stage. Right. They can have a home stage.
And I'll add this too. You know, for all the theater that I've done, the only time I've ever made a couple of dollars is at the Fringe.
Because,
you know, yeah, they provide the stage and I get a cut of the money and I don't have to, you know. Anyways, and that's, of course, if you're going to be doing theater for money, you're in a world of hurt anyway. But nonetheless, it's been
they're
a real
so
good
young. Opportunity. They're so young over here. Don't tell them that yet.
So we also have Sandy Woodson here, and I'm sorry.
Oh, I just want to say one thing. So, because we're talking about this and money and how artists support themselves, on our website, we have a place where after you see a show, you can rate it 1 to 5 stars. You can also leave a comment. Well, these things help artists. So we have our reviewers, but you know, our media here in KC, KKI is amazing for Fringe and support us so much, but you know, there's just not that much space for theater reviews in print. So we have our reviewers go, but you as audience members, after you go see a show, you can really help an artist out by writing, you know, something about your thoughts and feelings about their show.
And as someone who has produced shows in the past, those are invaluable. I mean, well, hopefully they're invaluable if you've impressed them enough that they say good things. But you know, it really is a good way to show your appreciation for the hard work that people go into make these shows.
Absolutely.
So I used to do the reviews, and but I was told by a couple people they thought I was being a little too harsh.
Well, I mean, you know, it depends on what you're critiquing for. But I think for the Fringe, like one of the things we're trying to get people excited about it is creating new work and creating something maybe that they wouldn't be able to create someplace else. So we do try to be kind. Greg, I know you're too, a kind man.
So I met Sandy Woodson some years ago. I don't remember what the situation was, but it had something to do with KCPT. And I know that you had some background with KCPT, but you're here because you're the coordinator for the visual arts coordinator for the Fringe. So
yes.
I want to talk a little bit about that and tell us what that's all about.
Okay. So this year we have 33 artists. We have 2 venues. One venue is already opened is at Gail's Public House, and that's where our Blue Gallery is. And I say that's where all the things we can't hang at Union Station end up at the Blue Gallery, so also known as the Naughty Bits Gallery.
Well, I was going to say that. The color blue is as intended.
Yes.
Okay.
Because there is another art gallery in Kansas City called the Blue Gallery, but that's a whole other thing. They're a fine art gallery, and not that we're not fine art, but anyway, you walk into Gail's, and we're in the back room, and there's 3 artists there. I'm one of them. And we'll be there for the whole month of July. And then this weekend, we open all the other artists at Union Station. So when you walk in the front door, we have the whole lobby area. And we're going to have an opening on Sunday from 3 to 5. So come out, take a look at all the art, get to meet some of the artists, and have a snack.
Okay, now is that you're in partnership with Union Station, or is it?
Yes. And Henderson Engineering also is sponsoring the space.
Okay, and is that you like a Fringe ticket to see, or is it just
no? You spaces? Just walk on okay. in, and you know, Union Station is 24/7, so people can go in there anytime they want to and look at the artwork. We're going to be there between noon and 7 every day to help with sales. But you can always go in and look anytime you want to. And at Gail's, we actually have started a new system where you scan a QR code and you just buy the piece of artwork right there.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah.
That's great.
What type of artwork do you have?
Well, I would say it's stylish, black and white, half-naked men.
How's that? Okay. Yeah. There's a reason it's in the blue room,
there
too.
There is a reason it's in the blue room.
Right.
And this one is pieces that I did actually quite a while ago. One that's part of my Family Jewels series that's actually a newer piece that's there. But, yeah. And so we also have Harley Wood, who's had his work around town for a long time, and Cora Wright also has her pieces up. Sure. Hers, Harley and I were kind of black and white. Cora's got really bright colors. It's beautiful work. So that's all at the Blue Gallery at Gale's Public House, and that's around 55th and Troost.
Okay. Okay, well, so we also have some performers here, and we have with us Tyler Lindquist and Tina Rivera, who together wrote and produced Mindset at the Whim Space at 415 Prospect Avenue. And I'm going to let whichever one of you wants to start to tell me what that's all about.
Yeah, I can definitely take it from there. I just want to point out that one of the first things we talked about was how Kansas City has such a rich theater history and such a rich theater scene. And I just want to thank Audrey and the Kansas City Fringe Festival, the KC Fringe Festival, for letting me have an opportunity and letting Tina have an opportunity for putting on our show. And so Mindset, it actually has a dash in between it because it's supposed to be read Mindset. It's not just one word. It's not just Mindset, but it's about the show kind of originated from my senior project. I just graduated from Avila University, which is a college down south, and I got my BFA in acting and a degree in theater education. Tina graduated a year earlier with her BFA in technical theater. And so we kind of were thinking about what I want to do with my senior project, and we started writing, and we were like, we just want to put on a show of our own. We don't want to do a show someone else has written. We don't want to do small scenes. We don't want to just have a performance or a show that we're doing at the school be my senior project. So we started writing, we started crafting and forming, and in December we did one performance only at like 4:30 p.m. and it was
on a Wednesday.
My mom was there.
Of course.
And so it kind of started from there, and then ever since then we invited some professionals to come, friends and family. And
I think, you know, in writing of it, it was a bunch of monologues. And then our professor, Matt Schrader-Harbor, was the one that said, you should put in, you know, the little speeches in between to kind of let people know why you're doing those monologues. And then you took it from there and wrote it. And then we kind of critiqued it together.
Yeah, the basis of Mindset is that it's kind of a confirmation of my entire 4 years at Avila University. And it's split between monologues from all different types of genres, whether it's Shakespeare, Moliere, absurdist theater, and modern, and then it's split up into other portions of when I'm just talking, and it's me talking to the audience. So it's really, it's quite a story about how I went through obstacles and I went through triumphs and failures throughout my entire 4 years, and it kind of talks about that. But it also really focuses on how if you set goals for yourself, you can really overcome anything. And it talks a lot about being present and staying focused and really living every day with your fullest and giving every single thing you have. And I tell that story not because I want to say this is my story, but I want to instead enlighten people around me and go, I come from a small town in Emporia, Kansas. You know, I've had my struggles, I've had my failures, you know, but through all of that, I was able to overcome it. You know, I was able to learn and grow and morph into the person that I am today. And what do you know? I'm performing for the KC Fringe Festival, you know? So, like, I think it really shows that if you put in everything you have to something you love, there's nothing you can't accomplish.
Okay, so when you say it's monologues, you probably said this, but it's also original pieces that you've written. Is that correct?
Yes, it's half originally written by us, but then me and Tina inserted monologues that we thought had a pivotal point throughout my 4 years at Avila. Like, the first monologue that I open the show with is an Orlando monologue from As You Like It, because it was the first ever college production that I was cast in. I was cast in I was cast as Orlando in As You Like It, and the artistic director of Heart of America Shakespeare Festival, Sydney Garrett, was the director. So I was just thrown into the deep waters, you know, for my first show. And ever since that moment, I knew I wanted to do theater, and I wanted to act, and I wanted to be on stage and tell a story with the people in the audience. And so, yeah, there are monologues from all different sources, and I do credit them, and I do credit them on the page we're going to have. So, yeah.
Now, I noticed it's at a place called the Whim Space, and we were talking just before this.
We were.
I had first heard of the Whim Space just, I don't know, maybe about a week ago, and I think it was probably just something online, and you had reminded me that a show called Alphabet Soup was there.
Yes.
Now, if I understand correctly, that show had a LGBTQ theme to it. I didn't know if your show had one as well, or
Yes. The WIM Space is the new LGBT community kind of theater center, and it's by Kevin King, right? Yeah. Mm-hmm. So awesome job, Kevin King. Wonderful. Thank you for letting me perform at your space. But yeah, Alphabet Soup did have a LGBTQ plus kind of feel around it.
Theme to it.
Mine does not. However, they want to be welcoming to everyone in the space, you know, and they are actually having their grand opening this Saturday. So welcome WIM Space to the Kansas City community. So yeah.
Is Kevin King still involved?
Yes. Yes. He actually sold me the ticket when I got there. He gave me my popcorn and I was like, hey, you look familiar. And so, yeah, he's very much involved. Yeah, he's a great.
If you do theater, you take the ticket, you give the popcorn, and then they go sit in the couch from your living room on stage.
Yeah. We were watching Alphabet Soup just to, you know, get the idea of the space, but we met Kevin, and we saw the show, and we thought it was wonderful. They were actually having their first full-length production this coming August, directed by Bradley Meyer, so it's going to be really interesting, and we're really excited.
I know most venues, so I'm anxious to go see this.
Oh, yeah, it's a new venue, grand opening, I mean, on Saturday, and then then I perform less than 7 days later, so it's pretty crazy. Yeah.
So Tina, I don't know if there's anything you want to add to what we've said so far, and
I think it's a really awesome show that kind of, you know, brings in also into the mind of an actor, and you know, if you stay focused and you're driven and you give it everything you have, then so much can come of it, and it's so much more. Like, acting in itself is so much more than reading a book and telling it to people. It's, you know, completely in you, and it changes your world, and the more, you know, the more that you give to it, the more that you're going to get out of it.
And there are five productions. We've kind of learned the hard way that nobody's going to memorize the dates and times.
Yes.
But from 7/21 to 7/29, there are five productions. They are going to be at the WIM Space, and you can go to the I might get it wrong.
KCFringe.org.
I should be able to remember that.
I think you know it deep down. You just wanted me to say it.
I did want you to say it. I did.
And you're online. It shows descriptions of each play.
Absolutely. It shows descriptions. You can search by date, by venue, by genre, and also by Amplified Voices, which is our push to give a little extra to extra oomph to shows that are BIPOC and LGBTQIA.
Okay.
I did notice one little nuance that when I went on and looked on the space there, I just clicked on one show and it took me to a YouTube thing. I didn't know how many shows have a YouTube.
I would say, so there's a lot of shows that this is the world premiere, so they don't necessarily have a reel for us.
Yeah.
You know, but some people have made a trailer, and, you know, just today, Brother John, who I know you know, of course, he's back doing a show about Bill Withers. I'm very excited about that. He came in and we just shot a little discussion of him talking about the show, and that'll be up on YouTube later today.
Well, I know one thing that the KKFI shares in common with KC Fringe is that neither institution could exist without volunteers. So talk about volunteers. Talk about the fact whether you need volunteers, and if you do, how they might get involved and what they might be doing.
Okay, we absolutely need volunteers. We have a form on our website called One of Us, and you just sign up. And we have lots of different categories that you can work in. So we have ushers for shows. We also have a lot of office work. We even are starting a big archive project since next year is our 20th, and we want to actually get all of the names of people. We have gallery guides. We have all kinds of work to do. We also need reviewers, Craig. If you're feeling kind-hearted, you could come back. I don't know. And we're looking for photographers. We try to have some quality photos for all of the productions, so they can take that away, too.
Great.
Can we talk about the button?
Oh, yeah.
Please. Go ahead.
We're going to talk about the button now.
No. Oh, thank you.
Yeah, and this is an important discussion.
Yes. Sandy said this to me right before as well, but, you know. I'm distracted by all the interesting conversation.
That's why I'm a button talk about
the button. We need the button talk, yes. Yes.
So we can do a button on this interview, right, by talking about the button. So what is this button? So we have a festival button, and it's a one-time purchase, and that gets you into the festival. And then you can purchase your tickets. You can go to all kinds of events for free. You don't need a button to go to the visual arts galleries, but for the films, for the theater, and then for our super fun after parties. One other place you don't need a button for is our flash preview night, which is a week from Thursday, where you will see 1 minute from most of the shows in one night, and then you get to hang out with the artists and buy your tickets and buy your buttons and get ready to plan your schedule for the Fringe.
Okay, so I hope I got this right, and it hasn't changed, but I believe, even though we can't talk about price, when you buy the button, that goes to the Fringe, but then the money that's taken in at the gate is split between the venue and the performers. So, what I'm pointing out by that is how generous this is towards people who otherwise would have to come up with production costs to put on a show and rent a stage and buy the makeup and all that good stuff. So,
As a former box office person, I'd also like to add that you can buy your buttons at any venue. You don't have to buy them ahead of time. You're not going to be able to buy them online. So just buy your tickets online. When you get to your venue for the first time, you can buy your button there.
And put your button in a safe place and or wear it the whole time. And that way you'll always have it with you when you go to your next show.
Absolutely. And this year we have some special flare buttons, too.
Yeah.
Besides your website, do you have a Facebook page?
Yes, we are KC Fringe on Facebook and Instagram. And our Instagram is hopping, and we have quite a few things on Facebook, too.
And for people who are old-fashioned, who like printed programs, like me. One place they can come is we have a stack of the programs here at the radio station, and I assume you'll have them at Union Station.
We'll have them at Union Station. We'll have them at all the venues, and we also have it in our Fringe 411, and that's at the back of the Bird Comedy Theater, 103 West 19th Street. You enter in the back, and we'll be there starting on Friday. We'll be there every day from about noon to 6.
So have you been getting any sleep with this coming up?
I have.
Oh, good. That's a good thing to know.
You know, last year everybody was like, oh, you must not be having any fun. You must be exhausted. And I'm like, no, this, I feel really pumped and jazzed, whatever you want to say. I am jazzed up about this year. I'm super excited, you know. So this is the fun part when I get to work directly with the artists and meet everybody and feel all the excitement of the festival coming forward.
Yeah, and I will say, you know, seriously consider checking it out and looking at the wide variety of shows, whether it's music, whether it's comedy, whether it's spoken word, whether it's visual arts, whether it's film. There's something there for everyone. And what you're doing is you're supporting live theater, you're supporting the arts, you're supporting a great institution here in Kansas City. And I'm going to look at my engineer up here to see how we're doing on time.
We've got about minute and a half left.
Okay, well, ask us a good question.
Sorry.
When they want to get tickets and stuff, they can they buy them at Union Station too?
No, this year we're not selling tickets at Union Station. Okay. We're selling them in the office where you can come and sit down in a relaxed, quiet environment. But all the venues also sell the buttons and the tickets. All
right. This is a fairly new office, isn't it? I mean,
it's we load in for the Fringe and then we go out and we go our separate ways working on the interwebs.
And for those who might be concerned based upon some issues in past years, all of the venues are air conditioned this year.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. Everything is air conditioned and everything is handicap accessible. Yeah. Oh, there was one thing, because I was talking about all the things you can search about the shows. You can also search by ratings. Mm-hmm. So, you know, we do have shows that are family shows, and we have shows that you're not going to want to bring your kids to.
Yeah, and you're not going to want them to come see Sandy's pictures either.
Mine aren't as bad as some of the others, but I can say bad because none of them are bad. But
no,
hey, my show was called Things You Can't Say on the Radio. So, can't make me blush.
So we are out of time. I want to thank Audrey and Bill and Sandy and Tina and Tyler for being here.
Good job, Craig.
Thank you, Craig.
Thank you, Craig.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.